We're continuing our series, Assembly Required Today, part two of this message series. And I'm going to let y'all know, y'all, this message right here is going to be a little heavy, but it's going to be healing. Now, I hope y'all response is a little bit better than the 9 a.m. service, because 9 a.m. was a little rough, but I believe God was at work, and I believe God is going to help us today. And so we're going to lean into a message that I believe is something that every relationship, each and every one of us have to grow in if we want our relationships to flourish and work according to God's plan. Relationships require some assembly, and there's some processes that we have to go through. There's some instructions, as we talked about last week, that we got to follow. So we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I referenced the scripture last week from Genesis, so I want to go back there. And we're just going to read two verses to really kind of launch us into this message today. Genesis 3. Verses 8 through 9, here's what it says. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid. Everybody say hid. Say it like you mean it. Say hid. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord called. Everybody say called. Out to the man and said. Everybody say said. Said to him, where are you? Church family, as we continue this series, Assembly Required, I want to preach from this theme and thought today, Communication 101. I want you to look at the person that you're standing next to and tell them, we need to talk. Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't even know who this person is, but you, come on, find somebody else and say, hey, we need to talk. Come on, type in the chat, we need to talk. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for all that you will speak to us in this moment. May we have receptive ears and a receptive heart to not just hear your word, but to come into alignment with your word. Let us not just be hearers, but also doers. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands for all that God is going to do today. Now, church family, I want to begin our time together by sharing a quote that I found from a guy by the name of Nat Turner. He said this, he said, good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. Nat Turner says, good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. When I think about these profound words from Nat Turner, a very well-known leader, African-American community from years ago, one of the images that popped into my mind was a methodology that some of us maybe have employed when it's come to entering into relationship with somebody or being connected to somebody that we were interested in, maybe specifically when we were in some of our childhood years. That one of the ways that some of us would kind of connect with somebody, or one of the ways that we would find out whether or not somebody was interested in us, is we would maybe write a note. And on that note, it would say, do you like me? And under that question, there would be a box with the word yes next to it. And under that box, a box that says no. And then around there, it would say, check yes or no. Now, I know that this might be a sensitive spot for some of us because you did that. And some people did not check yes. Some people check no. I remember when Erin and I, when we got engaged and I was kind of planning out how I was going to propose to her, I actually employed that methodology just to bring some fun to the engagement process and to the proposal. I remember picking her up from the airport because she was coming from out of town visiting some family that December. And I remember like it was yesterday, December 31st, 2010. You said three? It was the 30th? December 30th. 2010, and I remember picking her up from the airport, and I remember being a nervous wreck and sweating because I was like, man, I hope this all goes according to plan. But one of the things that I always like to do is to bring some comic relief and some comedy and make her laugh. And so I was like, man, what can I do that's going to really just like cause her to laugh? She wouldn't even see it coming. Like, yes, I'm going to have a ring and, you know, do some cool things. But I really want to do something that she really would remember. And I wrote a note that said, will you marry me? Check yes or check no. Now, obviously, I got on the knee and also did all that, you know, all that good stuff too. But in this moment, obviously, this moment can go one of two ways. And when she was laughing, when she saw the notes, I was praying to God in this moment, I hope this is a laugh of joy, not a laugh of disappointment. Now, obviously, long story short, she checks the box. Yes, yes. But one of the things that I love about that, y'all, is while it may seem very childish, that methodology, here's one thing that it is. It's clear when it comes to communication. You don't have to wonder whether or not this person likes you. It's either yes or no. And some of us, I believe, if there is an area where we need to grow and get better at and have some clarity in, it's communication. If there's an area, I believe, where many relationships suffer, it's in this area, communication. I remember when I was in college, I took a class my junior year of college, and I took this class. It was called Communications 101. It was some inspiration for today's title of our message, but specifically the focus was on public speaking. And I remember my professor, Hugh Copeland, at the time taught us some elements and some skills pertaining to communication and public speaking. He talked about the importance of pace, meaning this, you can't talk too fast and you can't talk too slow. You got to be mindful of your pace. But he also talked about how you have to be mindful of your word choice, diction, if you will, the types of words that you use as you are articulating your thought. But then he also began to talk about you have to speak with clarity. That when people hear you begin to speak, they shouldn't be confused by what you're saying. They should be able to understand what you're saying. But then he also talked about you got to be able to speak with confidence. And if there was one generic thought that I would summarize all of those attributes and all of those characteristics under, here is what it helps us to understand, that communication is a skill. It's a skill. Tell your person beside you, communication is a skill. How do we know that? Because communication is not something that we just learn or something we just come out of the womb knowing how to do. We have to be taught how to communicate. Just as you have to teach a child and a baby and an infant how to use words. It doesn't change the older we get in the season of life that we're in. We still have to learn how to communicate. Can I help us understand something when it comes to relationships, y'all? Love is not enough. I know you love them, but if y'all can't talk, oh my gosh, I'm just so head over heels over this person, but y'all don't never talk. Or we don't know what to talk about. Your relationship will only go but so far if communication has not grown and matured. And if there's one area that I believe most relationships get hung up on more than anything else, and I'm not talking about romantic relationships, I'm talking about all types of relationships. I'm talking about boss and employee relationships. I'm talking about parents and kid relationships. I'm talking about dating relationships, friendships and siblings and family. It's communication. Because when it comes to communication, it's something, y'all, if we're really honest, we don't do the best job at. Now, already, y'all are talking back to me a little bit more than a 9 o'clock service. I'm feeling a little bit better about this message. But communication, y'all, is one of them. Ain't it crazy? Communication is one of them things we don't like to talk about. The irony. But it is absolutely something that we have to talk about. And I've never done a relationship series where I specifically spent the majority of the time in a message talking about communication. But communication is one of the main things that it causes ruptures and division and separation and destruction in relationships. Which brings us here to Genesis chapter 3. Something that we referenced last week when we were talking about following the instructions. Can I remind us again that when it comes to assembling relationships, you got to do it God's way. You can't do it your way. You got to follow his instructions. You got to follow the instructions of scripture, not the instructions of culture. Culture's instructions will lead to a catastrophe. Scripture's instructions will lead to blessing and prosperity. And it's no different now when it comes to communication. And so the scene now here is Adam and Eve, man and woman, who God originally created. They had instructions from God. He says, y'all can eat from any tree in the garden, Any tree. All the trees of the garden are wide open for you to enjoy. And as I said last week, we don't even know how many trees it was. It could have been like 1,000 of them. He says, the only tree I don't want you to touch is that one right there. Don't go eat from that. And it doesn't mean that that tree was bad. It just wasn't good for them in this moment. Can I help us understand something? Just because God says you can't have something doesn't mean it's not good. It's just not good for now. I'm going to deal with that as we continue on in this message series. He says, I don't want you to eat from that tree, but y'all can eat from any other tree, right? And here, long story short, as we read last week, but in case you're not familiar, they ate from the tree anyhow. Just like us. Don't touch the stove, but then you touch it anyway. I know I shouldn't be calling you and texting you at 2 o'clock in the morning asking you what you're doing, but I couldn't help myself. Oftentimes, y'all, we do the very thing that we know we shouldn't. And here's what happens. Adam and Eve disobey God. They violate their relational connection with God, which has now caused there to be brokenness and distance between God and them. And I want you to look at verse 8. Here's what the Bible says. I'm teaching this today. We're going to slow walk this whole sermon, all right? I need you to hang with me today, all right? Tell the person beside you, you got to hang with us today. You got to hang with us today. Here's what it says. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. Watch this. And they hid from God. So they sinned, they disobeyed God, and then they went into hiding from God. Don't that sound like kids, kind of, right? Come on, and all of us have been kids. And not even just kids, but don't we do that as adults? When you do something you ain't supposed to do, you try to cover it up. Hide it, right? Come on, don't look at me like that. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. When we do stuff we know we ain't supposed to do, we hide it. And the Bible says they hid from God. Why is it so important? Because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to address it. They don't even confess it. They run from it. So there is not only a breakdown in the covenant relationship with God, but then now there is also a breakdown in the communication channel. I'm going to tell you how crazy it is. Because God spoke to Adam. Adam would speak to Eve. God created Adam first. How did Eve find out the instructions? More than likely, the instructions that God gave to Adam, he spoke them to Eve. That's probably how she found out about it. Here in Genesis 3, we see a reverse. Instead of God speaking to Adam, Adam speaking to Eve, the enemy is speaking to Eve, who then speaks to Adam. And the problem with that is God don't take backseat to nobody. And so now we got the communication channels that have been disrupted. Can I help you understand something about the enemy? The enemy knows that one of the quickest ways to ruin a relationship is through communication. It's through words. What does the enemy say to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1? Did God really say? This joker causes chaos in the cosmos because of communication. Because he simply asked the question, did God really say? Through his words, he brings confusion. And through his words, he has not brought chaos. And I believe part of the reason why we have chaos and confusion in our relationships is because the enemy is still confusing relationships through communication. He's interfering with the communication lines. Have you ever been on a phone and you were in mid-conversation with somebody and then all of a sudden your phone dropped the signal? It interrupted the conversation. I want to let you know that what the enemy wants to do is he wants to interrupt our connections. And the way that he oftentimes does that is through communication. And I believe that part of the reason why we have everything that we have happening today in relationships and in homes and on jobs and in businesses and in culture and in the community is because we as a human society and as a people struggle when it comes to communication. We struggle with it personally. We don't know how to talk to people. We don't know how to have conversations with people. Come on. You know, one of the things I'm thinking about doing a whole message on, but I'm like, I don't know if it's related to the relationship series, but I'm thinking about like leaning into it, is we struggle when it comes to communication. And do you know another part of communication we struggle with? Comprehension. Where you say one thing, but they hear something different. Or they said one thing to you, but what you heard was something different. And the reason why you heard something different is because you weren't looking at it through a holistic and a healed place, but you were listening and hearing it from a broken place. So you will take something that somebody meant that was pure, and they said it loving, and they said it good, but because you got a broken filter, you look at everything, whether it's good or not, through the lens of brokenness. Somebody say communication. This is one, y'all. You don't see too many relationship series and talks that deal a lot with this. You know, you hear messages about intimacy. We'll hear messages about dating and all that. And I've done messages all like that type of stuff. But man, this one right here is the silent killer. Because we all know how to talk. Watch this. We talking for some of us, but we don't know how to talk. You ever heard a baby making sounds, but they want words? Making noise, but can't understand it. And I think some of the relationships are struggling right now is because we're not thriving in this area. And so parents and kids don't know how to talk to each other, and spouses don't know how to talk to each other, and coworkers don't know how to talk to each other, and spiritual family and church members don't know how to talk to each other. We don't know how to communicate. And so because we don't know how to communicate, we either choose not to communicate at all, which then now opens up the door for the enemy to start communicating. Can I help you understand something? Wherever you are silent, the enemy would love to come and fill with words. He loves to talk. And what we see happen here in this passage of scripture is we see Adam and Eve experience brokenness, a break in this relationship and a break and in communication, y'all. And they run from God. They hide from God. They don't deal with it. They're not talking about it. They're running from God. And y'all, from the outset, y'all, they disobeyed God. They have given God every reason to not have anything to do with him. They have given God every reason to not have anything to do with them at all. They've given God every reason for God to abandon them, for God to forsake them, for God to ignore them, for God to give them a cold shoulder. But here's how good God is. Even though they were avoiding God and running away from God and trying to avoid having interactions with God because of their sin and because of their shame, God was so loving that in spite of them running from God, he was still running after them. And I want to pause right there and let us know. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It means because when we have drifted from God, and when we have wandered from God, and when we have ignored God, God has not ignored us. God has not drifted from us. God is still loving us. God is still patient with us. God is still kind with us. God is still coming after us. Even though we gave him the cold shoulder and the stiff arm, he doesn't do the same with us. God is so good, y'all, that even when we disown him, he never disowns us. And here's what Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says. It says, the Lord appeared to him from far away. And it says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting, I'm about to say everlasting. Here's what this means. It means that no matter the season, his love is still there. It means that no matter what you do, his love is still there. No matter if you get it right or wrong, his love is still there. Thank God that our God loves us with an everlasting love and an unconditional love that is not based upon circumstances. It's not based upon whether we get it right or get it wrong. No, God loves us no matter what it is that we do. When we cross every T and dot every I, he loves us. When we fail to do that, he still loves us. When we fall short, he loves us. When we disobey him, he loves us. When we wander from him, he loves us. And I believe that some of you all are here today and online, and you got a testimony about how you know that God has never given up on you, even when you gave up on God, even when you drifted from God, even when you disobeyed him, he still was coming after you. That's what we see happening here in this passage. We see God coming after them. We see God reaching out to Adam and Eve, even though they're hiding from him. And here in Genesis chapter 3, family, we see God pursuing Adam and Eve. And do you know how he does it? Through communication. So I want you to look at verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. says this. Well, verse 9 says, so the Lord called out to the man and said to him, where are you? I didn't say this in the first experience. I'm going to say this now, though. Whenever God asks a question, it's not for him to know. It's for you to know. He asked Adam, where are you? God is omniscient. He knows all things. So when he asks this question, it's not because he doesn't know where you are. It's because you don't know where you are. You've drifted from being where you're supposed to be. You've gotten outside of the covenant of God. You've done something and engaged in some things that you're not supposed to be. And I believe in to hear God asking some of us that question today. Where are you at right now in your life? Where are you right now? Because you realize that you can be in the same place physically and not be in the same place emotionally. They're in the same garden, God and Adam and Eve. But yet God says, where are you? I see you, but your spirit's not with me right now. There's been a disconnect here. And so here's what God is like. Here's essentially what God is saying. And what we're not going to do is keep walking around this garden and acting like you didn't do the very thing I told you not to do. What we're not going to do is keep on walking through this garden. Y'all not going to sit up here and populate this earth and we not address what just happened. What we're not going to do is act like them fig leaves just got put on you by themselves. What we're not going to do is act like that tree ate that fruit. What we're not going to do is act like I ain't tell you not to eat from that tree. I was okay as long as you looked at the tree. I was okay with you walking around the tree. I told you not to eat from the tree. And we can't ignore the fact that you just violated what I said to do. We got to talk about it. It's almost like God said, hey, we need to talk. Let's have a conversation. Some of us right now are getting memories of being called maybe to the principal's office in this moment. Mrs. Such and Such, Principal Such and Such wants to see you in the office. Some of y'all just got triggered right there. God says, we need to talk. We need to have conversation. Why is this so important? Because God immediately teaches us something about dealing with conflict. That when conflict arises, conversation must take place. A lot of times what happens is when conflict arises, we either don't talk about it at all, or watch this, we talk around it. So it now becomes the proverbial elephant in the room. So we'll be sitting at the table, but don't want to address the blow up that happened a week ago. If you can't say amen, say ouch. What we're not going to do is keep on going to work, getting out of the house and acting like fists won't throw. What we can't do is come to work and act like a blow-up didn't happen on the job. Because some of us have fallen into this mindset of thinking, if we don't talk about it, it'll just get better. But not talking about it doesn't make it get better. It actually makes it get worse. If you don't address that you got sickness growing in your body, if you ignore it, it does not go away on its own. It gets worse. And when it comes to communication, family, it is something that I believe God wants us to lean in. And here's what I want us to understand about God. God himself is a talker, y'all. He loves to talk. Can I help you understand something? God is always speaking. Some of us are like, man, Pastor, I feel like I'm not hearing God speaking. God don't have a speaking problem. It means you got a hearing problem. If I'm not hearing God, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because maybe I got too much stuff that I'm listening to right now. He's always speaking. He loves to speak. I mentioned last week when God created everything, how did he do it? He did it with a word. The Bible says, he says, let there be light. And then light was created. And he creates things with the word. He uses his word to bring about transformation. He uses his word to bring about restoration. He uses his word in conversation to bring about freedom. He uses his words to create. He uses his words to confront. God also uses his words to correct and to comfort and also to challenge and to call. God is the master communicator. This is what he does. This is who he is. And while the enemy brings confusion through communication, God brings clarity through it. Here's what Proverbs 18:21 says. It says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Can I help you understand something? You can kill a relationship with your words. You can kill hope with words. You can kill respect with words. But then the opposite is true. You can help cultivate an atmosphere of love with words. You can help cultivate encouragement with words. Some of us are trying to figure out, Pastor, why don't I have good relationships? Can I ask you this question? Could it be that you are communicationally challenged? Pastor, they just don't understand me. Maybe I'm not doing the best job at communicating who I am. And in order for me to communicate who I am, I have to be clear on who I am. Communication, y'all, it's a silent killer. With my words, I can destroy. With my words, I can build up. And the principle here is this: my words are either building or they're breaking. Can I ask us a question? When you talk, when people know you, when people are around you, is your presence a breath of fresh air because of the words that come out of your mouth? Do they carry an aroma, or do they carry a stench? Because my communication is creating an atmosphere. And here's what I want you to understand about the enemy. The enemy uses words to kill, but God uses words to heal. He uses words to build up. So here's what I need us to understand about our communication. Our words need to be life-giving, not life-draining. Our words need to be life-giving, not life-draining. And many relationships fall apart because of a lack of communication or a lack of knowing how to communicate. Jimmy Evans, he's somebody who does a lot of work in the area of marriage. He says this: when communication fails on any level, it affects every level. He says when communication fails on any level, it affects every level. In other words, if we not talking, we not gonna be vibing. Which means we can't build a relationship because of our words or because we don't know how to communicate. And I want you to understand this: for any relationship to flourish, friendships, marriage, parent, child, family, coworker, boss, employee, good, healthy, godly communication has to be present. I want to encourage you and challenge you right now to not be tempted to check out on this message, not just today, but as you go throughout the course of this week. Because so much of our life is connected to this very thing. And here's what the psalm writer says in Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. You want to know a question that we need to all be asking God? Are you getting glory and are you pleased with what comes out of my mouth? Do my words glorify God and edify people? Me slandering somebody, that doesn't glorify God. Me name calling does not glorify God, and it definitely doesn't edify others. Me constantly wanting to pick a fight and getting arguments with people doesn't glorify God. Can I help you understand something? You can win the argument and lose the relationship. God's desire is not that we be combative with one another, but that we will walk in love towards one another. Why? Because the goal of communication is not to win, but to love. So when God confronts Adam and Eve, he's doing it out of love because he desires relationship with them, and they've broken this covenant and they don't want to talk about it. But God knows, because he's all knowing, that in order for restoration to happen, communication first has to take place. We got to talk about this. And God gives us the blueprint for how we should be communicating. And I'm going to give us a few principles that I believe they're going to be convicting, but they're going to be helpful. Are y'all ready for it? On that new connection card, we got a little area for you to take notes on the back, and we got our notes in our app as well. So write this down. Number one, for us to have good godly communication, it starts with our tone. Everybody say tone. What do I mean by tone? Your sound of voice. The sound that your voice, and this seems really small and petty, but I'm gonna give you an example as to how you know this is true. I'm gonna say one phrase three different ways. And I want you to pay attention to the emotion that it evokes maybe in you. Okay, I understand, I'll do it. That's cool. Okay, I understand, I'll do it. Okay, I understand, I'll do it. Now some of y'all was like, are we about to fight? Or like, what are we about to do? Like, do you see how the tone, I said the same thing three different ways. The tone changed. And because the tone was different with each one of those phrases, with that phrase all three times, it conveys something different. It makes you feel something different. So it's like, I hear what you're saying, but I also hear the tone in which you're saying it. And the tone in which you're saying it does not match what you're saying. So some of us, when it comes to communication, are tone deaf. We say everything the same way. And we wonder why people have a hard time maybe understanding us or receiving what we're trying to say. I've told you to do the same thing over and over and over again. Well, maybe it's your tone that's interfering with the message. So here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1. I want you to write this down. A gentle answer turns away anger. A gentle, everybody say gentle. Gentle, that has to do with tone, turns away anger. If I'm having a conversation with somebody and they're at a 10 emotionally, they're hot, angry, I'm not helping the situation by me. I'm a match your energy. That's not going to. You ain't going to talk to me like that. That's not. We both going to be butting heads. Two rams going at each other. And somebody going to get crushed. Our tone. Everybody say tone. Bible says a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. So for some of us, can I give you a real practical thing? Some of us, like, we struggle when it comes to, like, being angry. And, like, when somebody talks to us sideways, you start to feel something rise up on the inside of us. Come on, just by show of hands, how many of y'all, pastor, that's me? Right? Come on. You want me to give you some pastoral wisdom as to how you can kind of almost trick your emotions? Instead of talking in a voice that's similar to this, just whisper. Okay, I got you. All right. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. Got you. Yep, yep, yep. Okay. Yeah. That's what's up. All right, cool. I'm trying to help us. Because it's the tone that conveys something. One person says like this, tone communicates care. And my tone carries significance and meaning whether I recognize it or not, which is why the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up. Do you not know that you and I, if we don't have the right tone, can stir something up on the inside of people? Our tone makes a difference. Tone. Let me give us some tones that aren't helpful. Can I give you a few? Number one is this. Shouting. That does not work. That ain't gonna work. Us getting in a shouting match. How are we getting better from that? Some of y'all are like, yeah, this is too real today. I didn't know this sermon was gonna hit hard like this today. Shouting, it's not gonna work. Sarcasm. Hey, I'm gonna take out the trash. I bet you are. Right. Hey, Mom, I did my homework. About time. Y'all see how some of us need to be delivered from the demon called sarcasm. Because you're real good with it. They come natural. That's a stronghold. And you be so, you so good with it, you so sarcastic with people, and people don't even know you being sarcastic. I bet you did think that. Thank you so much for thinking so highly of me. I bet, you know. Can I give us another tone that's not helpful? Sharpness, being sharp with our tone. One that's like very edgy. It's got an edge to it. Some of us speak and we got an edge to our words. And those edges are cutting people. And they're killing relationships. People walk away from a conversation and communication and they feel belittled. I'm walking away from a conversation feeling belittled. That's not good communication that's happening. This has to do with tone, y'all. It's all about that. For those of us who are parents in here, can I give us some wisdom and some encouragement? And I say this as a parent as well, not just a pastor, but as a parent. Y'all, if we really want to see our kids model certain things, we got to model it for them. Like if you want your kids to stop snapping, you probably need to stop snapping at the kids. Come on, talk to me. Because we get real self-righteous when it comes to parenting. But we snap at people all the time on the job. And now we're trying to police our kids for something that we won't police ourselves for. Come on. Much more is caught than taught. So I gotta be mindful of that. Families, we gotta be mindful of how we talk to each other. And I get it, we mess up. We fall short. Pastor, I said the right thing, but my tone was messed up. Okay, cool. Own that. Don't be trying to justify the reason why. It's communication. Do y'all see how stuff falls apart because of this? This is what we do. Come on, this is what we do. Tell the person beside, this is what we do. Come on, this is what we do. This is what we do. All of us do it. This is why the book of James talks about controlling our tongue. Controlling our mouths, because our words, y'all, can build or they can tear down. If you're in a position of superiority, that doesn't mean that you talk to the people who are under you in a disrespectful manner. Do what I say. You got the wrong one today. No. No. My tone. Let me give some tones that are helpful. Gentle, caring. You can be firm without being hateful. You can be firm without being flagrant. Being gentle does not mean being soft. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. Do you know what that means? Strength under control. It means I could crucify you with my words and give you all this work right now. But I'm not, because I'm going to operate in the other fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Gentleness don't mean weakness. It means strength under control. Jesus was the strongest person ever, but he knew how to control his words. He used tones for different things. And he wants us to model the same type of behavior. Our tone, I want you to write this down, will either support our words or contradict our words. Here's the second thing that I want us to understand when it comes to godly communication as we see in the scriptures. Not just our tone, but also having tact. Being tactful. What do I mean by that? It means that when it comes to communication, how we say things, the words that we use when we communicate is important. Because we can say the right thing the wrong way. So how we say things, you and I need to give thought to what we say before we say it. Because oftentimes relationships experience tension and pain because we don't give thought to what we say. Have any of us ever said, come on, let's be honest, it's a church, we be honest. How many of us have ever said, I just speak my mind, let's just be real. I just say what's on my mind. And let's just be honest. That does not always achieve the best results. I'm not talking about not being truthful, I'll talk more about that in a moment. But sometimes, more often than not, what needs to happen is what comes in our mind needs to be processed first. It needs to go through a thought process. I need to be very, watch this, why? Because with the words that come out of my mouth, I cannot take them back. What comes out of my mouth cannot be taken back. And if my words, the Bible says this, the power of life and death is in the tongue, right? If my words are a tool that can either be used to build or to tear down, I have to be mindful because my words are creating something. And the question is it creating something that's of God? Is it creating something that's going to lead to having good, healthy, godly relationships? Somebody say tact. Can I just be honest? Some of us just don't got no tact. We just rugged with the words, right? It's true, but the words you say, they be true. But man, they harsh. Pastor, that's how I just give cold, hard facts. That's fine. Just have some tact with it, though. Here's what the Bible says. You don't believe me. Here's what Proverbs 12, 18 says. There is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. There is one who speaks rashly, giving no thought. Here's what Colossians 4, 6 says. Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt so that you may know how you should answer each person. Let your speech always be gracious. Let it be loving. But let it be seasoned with salt. Salt helps things to taste a certain way. It brings a taste to it. Here's what Paul is saying. Let your words be tasteful. Let them be pleasant to the tongue and to the taste, not bitter. And sometimes when we communicate, they're not seasoned with salt, but they leave people salty. Tell the person beside you, let's talk. This is what I like to call a pregnant pause. I just let it sit. And the reason why this is so important, y'all, is because I have had so many conversations with people through the years in all types of relational spaces, married, single, divorce, children, whatever, bosses, coworkers. And this thing right here called communication has led to so much damage in people's lives. Jesus even says in the Gospels, by your words, you'll either be acquitted or condemned. They carry weight, y'all. So we can't just go slinging out words carefree. Which is why the Bible says in James chapter 1, every person should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Get a little ahead of myself. But here's why this is important. Because God wants us to give consideration to our communication. If you're watching this online, I need you to get this in your heart. You can't just say what pops in your mind. You have to give it thoughts. I have to be tactful with my words. Which now leads to the third thing. When it comes to communication, here's another important principle. Time. The timing of communication. A major part of communicating is knowing when to say things and when to be quiet. Is this the right time for me to say something? You just slashed my tires. They need to go pause and pray first. You lied on me. I need to go talk to God before I talk to you. You got some tension right now at home? Go talk to God first. Then talk to them maybe. See, what happens a lot of times is when the order of things is broken, it leads to more brokenness. So I got to understand time. Here's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:7. There's a time to tear. There's a time to sow. Watch this. Hear me. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time to hush. And then there's a time to say something. If some of you struggle in here with not knowing when to, you know what you may have to sometimes physically do when you want to say something, even though you shouldn't? I'm telling you, I'm giving you tips. This is what helps me. There's been plenty of times, Ariel will tell you, she probably don't even know this why I do it, but it's plenty of times in the house, stuff happening or whatever, case may be, kids, whatever, or just things in life or whatever, and I'll do this. And, you know, I'm actively listening, but I'm doing this. Bible talks about a muzzle over the mouth. So it's like sometimes I gotta muzzle my mouth. Not even just to not say something reckless, but to just not say anything that doesn't line up with what God wants me to say. Can I help you? Can I help some of us understand something? Y'all got some extra time today? You got some time. You know. Just because you might know what needs to be said, doesn't mean that you might need to be the one to say it. Because for some of us, God has given you, I'm helping some of us right now. Some of you, God has given you like a gift of discernment and a gift of like a prophetic gift where you see things that other people can't see. And you're like, why is nobody saying anything about this? Why is nobody saying, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Nobody else sees what's going on here. Nobody else sees the kids running crazy. Nobody else sees what's going on here in the job. Nobody sees anything. Part of the reason why God showed that to you is because he doesn't necessarily maybe want you to say something. He wants you to pray about it. Intercede. I hope this is making sense. And so this is so important because there's some things that y'all, we might be aware of, but it's not on us to say anything about. There's a time to speak, and then there's a time to be silent. Right? Now, in communication, timing is everything. And there's a time for me to have a conversation about certain things. Right? So, for instance, if I'm looking to get married to somebody, it's a little too late for me to have the conversation when I'm at the altar about to say I do to ask them, hey, what's your debt-to-income ratio? So, I mean, how much money do you make, you know? Before I say I do, you know? Fam, we should have had this conversation months ago. Like, it's too late to get to the altar. You know, do you know Jesus? Like, what church do you go to? Really? Now? Now? And what happens sometimes is there's certain conversations that we should have had in one season that now get pushed to another season and it causes more damage than it actually has to. Because we didn't have those conversations. We avoided it. So let me give us a dating tip. I'm going to talk about dating in a few weeks. Let me give us a dating tip. For those of us like, Pastor, I think this is my time, you know what I'm saying, to go find that person that God may got for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, what, you know, like, yeah. You don't need to wait till 3 months from now to find out what their walk with Christ is like. We're not even going on a date before I find that out. We just need, oh, so what church do you go to? Oh, you know, now I be watching online. Oh, for real, what you watch? You know, I just, the Lord hasn't led me anywhere yet. And I just kind of watch a little bit of everything, you know, and I watch TV here. Oh, so who's your pastor? Oh, you know, I just kind of feel like, you know, the Spirit of God leads me, and you know, and Jesus is my pastor. Awesome. Jesus will pastor you by yourself because I'm not going to be with you. And what happens is we got red flags, but we don't talk about it. And it's not just in that area, but it's in every area. We got to be able to discern timing when it comes to our communication. Here's what the Bible also says about timing. Proverbs 25:11 says this. We don't have it on the screen, but I just want to give it to you. It's in the notes, in the note app. It says, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples in silver settings. A word spoken at the right time, which means there's a right time to speak a word and there's a wrong time to speak a word. It's on us to have the wisdom from God to be able to know when the time is. James 1:19, as I mentioned earlier, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Let's be honest. I'm going to get ready to close with this. Let's be honest. How often do we get the two reversed? We're quick to speak and slow to listen. We say it as soon as we feel it, but then it leads to a world of trouble. And I want to help us understand something. Our words may be truthful, but our timing might be terrible. Our words might be right, but our timing might be wrong. I got to be aware of when is the right time for me to speak. Is this a time for me just to be quiet and just listen and humble myself? I'm leery of people who always have something to say about everything, because what that lets me know is that you have not processed anything. Got an opinion about everything. Have you processed anything? Because typically people who have an opinion about everything oftentimes find themselves putting their foot in their mouths and having to apologize more often than they should. It's important for us to know time. Here's the last thing and then we're done. Truth. Everybody say truth. When it comes to our communication should be truthful. And all of the principles mentioned here need to always come back to being truthful with our words, because whatever comes out of our mouth should always be honest. It should always carry tone. It should always carry tact. It should always be done at the right time, but it should always be truthful. When God confronted Adam and Eve about their sin, he did it in a truthful way. Did you eat from the tree I told you not to? Communication, family, requires being honest about things. Things that are well, things that are not. Being truthful means I got to confront some things. And we can confront some things without being combative about things. And what I've recognized is there's a lot of relationships that stay stuck because we won't be truthful about what's going on. So whether it's in the home, husbands or wives, living in separate quarters or not getting along, speaking about what really is the issue there, or family issues that have carried over the course of decades, but nobody wants to talk about it because we want to keep ignoring it. It's the elephant in the room. And so now when we get around each other for the holidays, it's awkward. It's awkward because we won't be truthful about what happened. And so we stay in bondage, which is what the enemy wants. Can I let us know, some of the breakthrough that we're waiting on is on the other side of a truthful conversation. There are some things right now that are being held up in our life simply because we won't be truthful. But God wants us to lean into communicating with truth. And being truth doesn't mean it's bad all the time. Truth is good. Truth can be affirming. That part of our communication, remember, we're life-giving. So you got a family member or a spouse or a friend and they do something well, speak on that. Thank you for being so encouraging. Be truthful. I think if we would grow in our communication, our relationships would begin to thrive and flourish. And I get that this is an area, it's hard, y'all. It's difficult at times. Because it's hard to sometimes face things. It's hard to converse about things. I think this is part of the reason why Adam and Eve ran. They were filled with so much shame, and they didn't want to talk about it. But I want to let you know, y'all, the longer we don't talk, the longer we stay in bondage. The longer husbands and wives, y'all, don't talk, the longer your marriage will continue to wither. families, parents, the longer you don't have conversations holistically with your children, the longer you don't have conversations with your parents about how you're feeling, the more corrosion will take place. God says, there's a better way. Let's talk about it. Culture talks around it. God says, let's talk about it. Let's talk. Here's the reason why this is so important. Because in order for relationships to work properly, we have to begin communicating properly. I believe in Jesus' name that so much emotional healing will come for many of us if we will start talking. For some of us, I'm going to challenge some of us. For some of us, we don't open up to people at all because of trauma and trust issues that happened years ago. And so you suffer now in silence. So now the enemy convinces you, man, nobody cares about me. Nobody talks to me. But that's not true. God has placed people around you, but he's saying, but you got to open up. Pastor, the last time I opened up, somebody broke my heart. Do not punish good, godly people and the good for what happened yesterday. God says, I want to free you in this area where communication happens. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe some of us are here today. We've gone over a little bit of time. But I believe God is speaking to us in this moment. For some of us, this means that you need to have some conversations this week about things. Something that's been maybe on your heart that you know you need to talk about. In order for the relationships to flourish, we got to communicate. I believe that the enemy wants to do everything he can to keep us from communicating because he knows that if we do, we stay stuck. But I thank God that he comes to us and gives us a better way. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, you can say, Pastor, this is an area that I struggle with. Just by show of hands, my head's about to eyes closed. If you struggle with this, would you lift up your hand? I just want to see you. I want to pray over you. Come on, I want you to be honest. This is time to be honest. You got to be real. Come on. If you're a married couple here and you're struggling in your marriage to talk, lift up your hand. If you're a young person in here today and you struggle when it comes to talking to people and opening up, lift up your hand. Part of the reason why we struggle with talking is because we have trust issues. But I want you to know that you can trust your heart and soul to the one who is trustworthy, and his name is Jesus. So, Father, I pray over every hand lifted in person and online where there is a struggle and a stronghold in the area of communication. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would grow us, bring forth healing, bring forth restoration. I pray in the name of Jesus, where there's trauma, that there will be healing. Where there's trust issues, that a renewal would take place. I pray for men in this place today, that us as men would be open and honest about what's going on the inside of us. Opening up to our friends, opening up to our spouses, opening up to our kids. I pray for every woman in here where there's trust issues, not being able to converse with other sisters and other women because of broken relationships in the past. I pray for healing. For every young person in here who feels trapped and feels as if they can't be open and share and be honest about what it is that they're wrestling with, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bring healing. I pray that you will bring a new perspective to them, that they would know that they can open up and receive the healing that you want to give through relationship. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and this afternoon, I want to let you know that the only way that your relationships with others can get right is if your relationship with God is first right. You can't get right with people until you first get right with God. You can't be on good speaking terms with people until you first get on a good speaking term with God. And the way that you can get on good speaking terms with God is by believing in His Son Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. He came from heaven to earth to die for your sins. He raised back to life on the third day so that you and I could live life abundantly, so that you and I could have all of our sins forgiven, past, present, and future, so that you and I could have a chance at a new future, so that you and I could experience hope again, so that you and I could have joy. And if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ today, I want to give you this invitation to say yes to Him today. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, on the count of three, shoot up your hand if you're ready to come to Christ and you're ready to say yes to Jesus. 1, 2, 3. If this is you, shoot up your hand wherever you are. You want to say yes to Jesus today, and you want to give your life to Christ today. Wherever you are, if you're online, then this is for you as well. And if today you're ready to start a new relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your life. I receive your love. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said, amen.